Do it in Yirtzeh Hashem. The next topic that we're starting off, hopefully finishing today, the two matters that we have some time, we might even start the next sheet today also. We want to keep us moving over here because we have a lot to cover, not that much time to do it in. But we have like this. We're going to get mamish right into a machlokes and some very, hopefully, in Yirtzeh Hashem, enjoyable hesbeirim here. And that's how to understand a very, very, very basic machlokes. You know, Rashi points out in the Mishnah, when the Mishnah has the line, and we don't say, right, the Mishnah says, Ein Omrim, we're not going to say that Yaseh ben Gerusha ben Chalutz, Zeh ben Gerusha ben Chalutz. So we're not going to say we make him, a ben Gerusha or ben Chalutz. So that we're not going to do. Rather, they're going to get Malka. So Rashi points out, right over here, that although the halach is that the Edom Zomer are going to get Malkas in this case, there's some kind of a havamit, there's some kind of a suggestion that the Mishnah is bringing up, some kind of a suggestion that we maybe in theory might have made the Edom Zomerim into a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutz themselves. And Rashi is quick to point out in the Divrei Maskil Ein Omrim Im Huzmu, that if these guys get caught as Zomerim, the Hein Kohanim, and they happen to be Kohanim, we're not going to say that Yasidim Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutz of the Kaim Bokash Zomam. Rather, they're going to go along and get Malka. So you remember, as you know from the base manager, that some of the Rishonim actually argue on that idea of the Rashi. According to Rashi, the only Havamina was that if the Edom Zomerim are Kohanim, maybe a person might think, and there's a whole sugi in the Gemara, as you remember, to try to dispel this notion, maybe you might think that they are going to become chalal on themselves. That's where we get the idea, lo below the zaro, and it has to be kasher zomim fully and not halfway, right? Bottom line is, they're not going to become the chalal themselves. Yeah, what was that, Jenna? Gotcha, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
But they're going to give them
Malka. His bottom line is that the halacha is to get Malka. That's Pasha. There was even according to Rashi that we just read right now. Right? Even in the Havamina of the Gemara, this Havamina that's not really brought up, like what the Mishnah is coming to reject all of a sudden, right? It's Pasha. If the Edom were Yisraelim, that you're going to get Malkos. The only question is, if they're Kohanim, would I be more literal to the Kasha Zomam goal? Okay. Again, like you just pointed out, I was the subject of that tosis for the past 3 days. Baruch Hashem. Moving on. Yeah.
Yeah, but if they're Israelim, then do the people who those Rishonim would say not like Rashi, do they have to hold up the first answer or tosis?
No, necessarily. Yeah, either way, whatever the rule, whatever.
Why would Enriyahu Lazimo not apply in this case?
The Gemara gives the rule. Why doesn't it apply?
No, but you can't say low, because it's not even low.
Okay, so on that point, we're going to wait till a little bit later to figure out. We are going to get back to that. That's a fair question. Yeah, what's doing, Ethan?
So the kasher zomim doesn't necessarily have to apply to the person in order to give them the malchus. Meaning, in the current case, so technically we could give the kasher zomim, but because of lo below zaro, so then we don't give them. But in terms of the Israeli case, we can't give them kasher zomim at all, because they're technically not.
Right, so that's where the whole discussion, that beis and beis, the rem is the zomim shalokin comes in, that we got the hevizikah, the tzadik, you know, the onesh is malchus. The onesh is malchus. Whether or not you want to say it, the Malkus is Kasher Zomam, or the whatever it is, that was the old discussion. But bottom line is, the owner is Malkus. Okay. Getting back to the sheet that we're all talking about that have not yet seen inside officially, that of the Ritva and the Riyah. The Ritva and the Riyah, as you know, bring up the possibility that the mission could be speaking about, again, a Havamina, even if the Edom were Yisraelim themselves, as the Ritva brings down the example in the name of the Tosis, that if the Edom were Yisraelim, how can Yisrael possibly be a Chalal? The answer is that there are ramifications of that. If we were to smack the Yisrael, Nebim, with some kind of a Chalal status, now he's not a Kohen, so it doesn't, he's a beyond a Chalal, he's not even a Kohen in the slightest bit, that's true, but the same way the Ritva says that a Chalal will passel a woman that he sleeps with from ever marrying a Kohen, so this Yisrael would have the same ability to do such a thing. The effect, the ramifications of Chalal, at least in that area, could certainly apply to the Yisrael. If he was to sleep with some girl, I'm not saying Daish, or she's not a Gerusha, whatever it is, she now, in theory, might not be able to marry a Kohen. Along comes the Mishnah and says, no, that's not true. The guy does not become a Chalal, or to whatever degree of a Chalal, rather he's going to get Malkus. The Meiri, in the very, very last line, the Meiri brings down a similar idea, just a different example of how we can affect a Yisrael as a Chalal. Im hoyu ha'edim ha'ilu Yisraelim, if these Edom are regular Yisraelim, ha'yazamasim ba lifsal es binoseyem lekahuna kedin bas Chalal zacha. So says the Meiri, there's another example, that the daughter of such a person, the daughter of a Chalal, is not allowed to marry a Kohen either. Okay, so maybe we would think that the daughter of this Eid Zomim, even if he's a Yisrael, even though she was born to two nice, fine Jewish parents, etc., sorry, you're not allowed to marry a Kohen. Your father is treated as if he's a Chalal, and in this regard, perhaps, we're going to treat the father, because he's an Eid Zomim, as a Chalal, and you can't marry a Kohen. Along comes the Mishnah says, no, we don't do that. Rather, we're going to give Malkus. Okay, so Bekitzer, in totally short sense, what we just had is Machlokus between Rashi versus Ritva and Meiri. According to Rashi, they only have a mean of our Mishnah over here to make the Edom Zomim into a Chalal, as if you're dealing with Edom who are Kohanim. According to Ritva and Meiri, the have a mean equally applies to Yisraelim, although in a limited fashion, certain elements, certain dinim of Chalalas could be attached to that Yisrael in order to make him similar to a Chalal. And again, the Mishnah teaches that is not the case. Obviously, the Shaila is that Dov is the one who introduced the question last time, so I have to keep it in one more second, let's keep you awake. Right? The obvious question, do you want to know whenever you have an al-machlokas like this before? Because all right, what question? Machlokas, it's Va versus Rashi, what do we want to know? Last time you asked the question, you got this one right, 3 days ago. What is the Yesod HaMachlokas? What are they arguing about? What's the root over here of their debate? What's the issue over here that they're going to be arguing about? So a very similar focus, and we've shown them what's going on. So we're going to try to advance two possibilities over here. How to explain this Machlokas. Both of them, the truth of the matter is quite significant and I think interesting as well. And let's roll. The first one is going to be based on a line in a Reb Chaim. The truth of the matter is, in all honesty's sake, I didn't give you this entire Reb Chaim to read. It's in one paragraph in the middle of a discussion that has absolutely nothing to do with our sugya whatsoever. Just this paragraph comes up in passing for a certain reason if you look over there. So if you ever open up this Reb Chaim, it's a little bit bigger than what you have in front of you. But this part is definitely relevant to us over here as well. Reb Chaim brings up a very basic chakira about the nature of the theoretical hazama that the Mishnah is suggesting. Okay, let's just explain the English one more time for the benefit of those who are, not so proficient in English. Theoretical hazama, of course, over here means what we're not going to do. The Mishnah says we don't make you into a ben gusha ben chalut. So that means in theory we might have thought that we would make you into a ben gusha ben chalutza / chalal. We're not going to do that. We're all together. Got that? MTA, fine. Now, the Mishnah says, the Reb Chaim basically brings up the following shaila. Okay, the following shaila. What is the nature of this theoretical hazama? What were we thinking to possibly do? We're going to make the guy into a chalal, right? Let's again for the next couple of minutes. Okay, we're going to speak about this as if it's more than a theorem. We're going to speak about it in terms of when we make him into a chalal, what do we actually think we're doing? Excuse me, we make the Eid Zomim into a chalal. So Reb Chaim points out over here, as you all know, again, this is Reb Chaim, I'm assuming everyone got through, right? You pretty much finished the sheets before, right? So Reb Chaim points out, basically, one can ask whether or not since we know chalala has with it both chumras, the chumras are the obvious element of chalala, the chumras, of course, being that not allowed to be Ovid Yavoda anymore. There's certain restrictions that apply. You can infect other people, so to speak, with your chalalas, and it's an infectious disease. The wife, the woman that you sleep with is going to become possible, etc. You have all the chumras that are there. But on the other hand, Reb Chaim points out there are certain leniencies, certain kulas that apply to chalalas as well. The most significant, of course, being that the Kohen's now, the Kohen Chalal is allowed to marry Psule Kuna. Those unique women that a Kohen is not allowed to marry, the Gerusha, the Chalutza, etc., the Chalal is allowed to marry. And what you recall, and perhaps, Reb Chaim said, if we're going to, in theory, make the Edom into Chalom, we're going to go all the way and allow them to have the Kulas as well. As you know, just to walk you quickly through the Reb Chaim, the first thing Reb Chaim wants to say is what? Logically speaking, what would we have done?
We would only give them the Chumras.
Because?
Because it has to do with that favor.
Right, the Edom Zomim very well said, the Edom Zomim are not trying to do anyone a favor. The Kashe Zomim Lassos, when we come and testify, this guy over here, this Kohen, is a Chalal, we are trying to detriment him, we're trying to get him, we want to do something negative to the person. What's the Kashe Zomim that we would give to the Edom Zomim then? The same thing, the negatives, they're going to be machmir on you and treat you like a Chalal. On the other hand, Reb Chaim wants to come along and say that he thinks, Lamaisa, that that's not what was going to be happening. And he thinks basically like this. What was the Yisod of Reb Chaim? Let's take away Chanan, see if we fine-tune it then.
That the Kulas aren't, it's not a din in its own right, rather it's just piggybacking on the fact that he is a Ben Jerusha of the Chuzah. So if you're going to, the Kasha Zomim would be the fact that he becomes a Ben Jerusha, and it's not that the Kulas doesn't go under Kasha Zomim, it's that once you're making him a Ben Jerusha, that just comes along with it.
Okay, very well said. Let me just, I'm going to add one word, though, if you don't mind. I'll probably elaborate. I'm going to add one word, because it's an important lumbus word, and it's kedai just to learn the terminology on a technical level also. One word that you're going to hear very, very often, you probably have heard it already, in the world of lumbus, is a title, is the name called a shame. A shame basically means a title, a status that's there in a person. Okay, and Reb Chaim explains basically over here like this. All of these things, chumras and kulos like that, are not separate and distinct entities, separate and distinct halachas that apply, this applies and that applies, etc. But rather, chalalas is a shame, is a status that exists on a person. It's a shame, the shame of chalalas. So Chaim points out that if a person has the shame of a chalal, the person has the status of a chalal is basically a package deal. There's a lot of things that result. And then the fact that a person has that status as a chal. Sometimes chalal is that shame results in chumra. Sometimes it results in kulas. But either way, once you're a chalal, you're a chalal. They're not distinct halachas. You can't do this and you can't do that, etc. There's a title that's there and you have to adhere to anything that that title represents. Okay, let me just add one more sentence to make it clear what the distinction is, and then we're going to hold up questions for a couple of seconds. In other words, in theory, a person could have said as follows. Someone is the offspring of the marriage between a Kohen and a Gerusha. Okay? What halachos apply to that person? You could sit down and make a list of things. That person cannot do the avodah. That's number one. Number two, that person is allowed to marry a Gerusha. Number three, that person this, etc., etc. Reb Chaim comes along and points out, and that's where the concept of a shame, of a status is important, but that's not true. We're not going to say as a result of the marriage, of the union of a Kohen and a Gerusha, you can't do the Avoda. As a result of the marriage between a Kohen and Gerusha, you're allowed to marry a Gerusha yourself. That's not true. The result of the union between a Kohen and a Gerusha is what? One thing and one thing only. That's not the word. We're looking for a word over here. There's a shame chalalas that applies to the person. You have a status now. Once you have that status, once that title is slapped on your back, and then there are many halachas that pertain to that particular status. It says, Reb Chaim, I don't know, perhaps you would say that if you're going to make the guy into a chal, the kulas would apply over here as well. That's the Reb Chaim. Of course, it's all theoretical because we don't do any of this stuff over here. But let's take this Reb Chaim again, let's take a question in a couple of minutes, and apply this back to our machlokas between the Ritva and Ritva Meiri against the Rashi. I'm going to change around the words though a little bit to help us understand what our issue might be as well. Okay, very, very important. Reb Chaim obviously brings up a nakuda right at this point. How far are we going to go? We can ask the following question, to rephrase Reb Chaim's question a little bit differently and say like this. Okay? Well, we're going to suggest in the Mishnah that the Eidim Zom become a Chalal. Ein Omrim, Yaseh Zeh Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Tachtov. We could ask as follows. Is the Havamina of the Mishnah over here that the person is going to become a Chalal Mamish, in other words, he is a Chalal, are we trying to affect him with the status of being a Chalal, right? Which again, we don't do, we give Malchus. Or would we say something different? No. We can't actually affix the status of a Chalal to this person. The bottom line is he's not a Chalal. That doesn't make sense. Hazama, right, is a din, listen carefully, in the Bezdin. What does that mean? The Bezdin, according to the din of Hazama, has to administer various punishments to the Edom Zoma. We give Malkus, we give Misa, we make you pay. But if you want to follow that pattern, what is the Bezdin empowered to do to these Edom Zoma who testify that the guy's a Chalal?
Give them a shame.
So here's where now we might differ and say like this. Perhaps you would come along and say, the Bezdin is going to do something to you. Now the shame of a Chalal, right, one might be able to argue, right, is a result of a, if you will, a physical messias. How does a person become a Chalal? Right? Well, there's a couple ways to become a Chalal. The Grusha Cohen thing, your mother was whatever exactly the details are going to be, but a chalal is not a status that a bezdin grants. You can't become a chalal out of the blue. Perhaps all the Mishnah is coming to say is that we're going to listen carefully to one simple English word. We're going to treat you as a chalal. We're going to act as if you're a chalal. The word in Lashon HaKodesh and learning that you would use this, if you want to get another term down pat, is that there's a din hanhaga. There's a rule of how to behave, how to act. We treat you like a chalal, even though you are not a chalal in reality, right? So the shaila we're bringing up right now in the Mishnah is, when we suggest that the Edom Zomim are going to become a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, which we obviously reject, are we suggesting that they become a chalal, or are we suggesting that we treat them as if they're a chalal? Which is basically the question that Reb Chaim is bringing up. We're just phrasing it in English with a little bit more of an elaboration. If we're going to make you into a chalal, then a chalal, like we've said, is a shame, is a package deal. Chalal means you're going to have kulas and chumras, all the stuff. If, though, the havamin of the Mishnah is that we're not going to make you into a chalal, but rather all we're going to do is treat you like a chalal, so there it makes a heck of a lot of sense to say we're only going to be treating you as a chalal insofar as the various chumras are going to go, but not any more than that. How does that relate back to our machlokas? Very, very simply, which is what? Squeeze it over. How does that relate back to our machlokas? Rashi and Mitzvah. I'm going to go down for the non hands up people over here. Huh? So, take it away. Anyone from this side of the room? Anyone? Anyway, take it away. What was that? How does it, without backing up and reviewing 10 minutes of stuff over here, right? All I said was, how does this apply to Amachlokis, Ritzvah, and Rashi? Does that help you at all? I should hope so. Yeah, now you got to figure out quickly, what is this, and how does it apply? If you don't get it quick enough, Nachum's going to have to start speaking in a minute. Take it away, Nachum.
Rashi says that when she comes to her poem, that the Havamina would make sense to say the Havamina was talking about only actually making a hollow, Mamish maybe?
Okay, because
he's a Kohen, so he's a Kohen.
Okay, and even more than that is the flip side, if you like the Ritva and the Meiri. And if you are the Ritva and the Meiri, right, does it make who are learning that the Mishnah is even speaking about Eidim or Yisraelim, right? Does it make any sense to you whatsoever that you can actually make a Yisrael into a Chalal? Absolutely not. Right? That much brains I think we all have over here, right? If you're not a Kohen, you can't be a Chalal. So you're going to be sort of backed into saying, according to the Ritva and in the Iri that there is no such havamina of real chalal. It's rather the whole havamina, even if you were a kohen, would have been, we're going to din hanhag, we're going to treat you like a chalal. And if that's the case, then the ritva and the Iri say, you know what, scratch your beard for a second and say, there's no reason why that din hanhaga shouldn't and can't apply to Yisrael as well. If it's just a matter of giving you punishments, or we're treating you with certain chalal-like halachos, okay, so Yisrael will pass to a woman that he sleeps with as if he was a chalal. Hill, the daughter that he has, won't be able to marry a kohen ever as if he was a chalal. Because if even by kohanim themselves, we were never going to make you into a chalal. Okay, so that the same exact thing can apply to Yisrael. Rashi then becomes equally clear. If you're telling me that the Mishnah can only be speaking about kohanim over here, well, why, right? Well, it must be that you're assuming that we're serious about this chalalit stuff over here. Chalalit, it must be a real thing that we're going to apply. We're going to give you the shame of a chal. That can only apply, of course, to a kohen, not to someone who's not a kohen. So it works out, and then we're going to pause for the question. Is that now we have two issues, and we just tried to lump together over here. Again, we're just clarifying in case it wasn't so clear the first time around. What we want to suggest now is like this. According to Rashi, it seems clear that the havamina is that we're going to actually give you a shame of a challah. That would mean, number one, what Rashi actually says, black and white, that this whole havamina only applies to Kohanim and not Yisraelim. But that also means, number two, according to Rashi, in the havamina, we would have allowed, that we're going to make you into a chalal, we would have allowed that chalal to marry a grusha, even lakula, right, if we're giving you the shame chalal. On the other hand, according to the Ritva and Meir, you say that the Mishnah is even speaking about Edom or Yisraelim, which we just wanted to explain means that all we're doing is giving a din hanhaga, treating you as if you were a chalal, which applies to Yisrael as well. But that means, logically, this has to follow that when, even if you were to be a kohen who was being treated like a chalal, we would not give you any of the... And if the kulas that are there, that certainly cannot apply if we're just punishing you and treating you ki'ilu as if you're a chalal. So the theoretical question that Reb Chaim brings up, le'aniyos datenu, sitting on the table over here, is actually machlokas and rishon between the Ritva and the Rashi over here, even though Reb Chaim does not mention that, but l'chora, that is exactly the machlokas that's going on over here, right in front of our face. Now let's pause for questions, and we have a lot more to do even on this topic. Yeah? Okay, no. You know, I'm going to say no. I'm going to go no with that. Hold on, if we're going to get there, we're 20 seconds. We'll see where we're going. Yeah.
The Pasal Raya for Rashi that you can't treat him as well. The fact that the Gemara, would Rashi agree that you can be Machshir Zaro? You can, right? You can. Oh, the Gemara says, right. So wouldn't that be a raya to Rashi? Because you can't just treat someone if he's not an active size. You can't make up, if really we basically can do whatever they want to treat him as a cholol, then we'd be able to make, it would make sense logically, we'd be able to limit him to a cholol, not make his children a cholol.
Okay, so I was hoping you were going to ask a very good question. But you stopped short, mamish, right at the end. It's still a fair question, but could have even been phrased a little bit stronger than that. To answer your particular question, I'm going to hold off on the strong question until later then. To answer your particular question, that we would say no, that's exactly what the Gemara is telling us, is that the diukim the psukim, lo velo the zaro, and you can't have kasha zomim the chatzoim. All those things are rules that govern what the bezin is, and how the bezin, rather, is allowed to punish somebody through the hazama. In other words, it has to be a full level of hazama, and that is going to be lacking of your bottom line. In other words, it's not an arbitrary thing we
but
can do whatever we want.
It's not lacking if you, if bezin would potentially make him not have the tools as well. Is that a...
No, that could be not at all, because if you're saying kasha zomim lasos, we're going to get you with whatever you were trying to get him with, then that's what you were doing. Yeah?
Yeah,
So first of all, just to clarify, for doing the ritual, is it that because you know how that it applies to Israel also, or because it applies to Israel, it has to be before that it's in the Torah?
So what I would have said, I can't prove this, and the truth is I'm not sure if it makes a difference, unless you can tell me that it does. But what I would have thought was that it was, well, I'm not sure which was the first second thing you said, but what I would have said was like this, that the starting point in the Ritva was a non-willingness to accept the idea that you're actually going to make him into a challah. What do you mean going to make him? He's not a... Even if he's a Kohen, he's not a Chalal. Hazama, like we were saying before, is a function of a Bezdin. We're going to do something to you. So what are we going to do? We're going to treat you like a Chalal. That being the case, the Ritva says, if that's even true if the Edom are Kohanim, right? No reason why that shouldn't apply to Yisraelim as well. But that's a guess. I can't prove to you that would have been the way he thought.
And then
within
the Kohen, is there any
a very big one. That's exactly what Reb Chaim brings out. When that the kulos apply.
So then, isn't that
not kasha? No, that was exactly what Tzvi just asked before. Because the kasha zalman is still, what were you trying to do to him? We're going to punish you the same way you were trying to get him. You weren't trying to do him a favor and say to him, oh, you really want to marry that grusha? I'm going to make you into a chal and look, you can you can go start dating that girl. You were trying to hurt him. You were trying to do something bad to him. Now the kasha zamim is basically limited to the realm of the negatives that are there. Okay, moving right along over here. We still have a little time, so we have at least one more major thing we're going to try to figure out over here, and then we're going to, if we have any time left over, we're going to move on to the next piece also. Right, we want to suggest now a different mahalach, how to explain what was happening over here in the sugya. The mahalach is totally different. We're not asking a question on what we just said. That is a valid mahalach, a valid pshat, and how to understand the machlokas over here. But l'chor, there's another way of understanding as well that might take us a little bit more time to try to explain. And that's as follows. And by the way, the first part I think was somewhat original. That was our mahalach. The next thing we're going to suggest is something that also came from Shmuel. His name we mentioned yesterday, and we promised you a lot of nice lumdas from Shmuel Rozovsky. And here's another very enjoyable, very enjoyable piece, which is Sayyadavra B'Shem Omra. Shmuel asked what was as follows. He said like this: perhaps the machlokas of you between the Rashi and the Ritva is based on a different based on a different issue. And that's as follows. Is there such a thing, is there such a possibility of a status of chalalas, a status of a chalal that would apply to a Yisrael as well? In other words, we commonly assume, and it's certainly a logical assumption, that chalalas is a thing that applies to Kohanim. A Kohen can become a chalal. if you think about the terms, right, a Kohen is someone who has Kedusha, Vikidashto, Kedusha, like the Kohanim say every morning. What does the word a chalal mean? When you machalal something in English, that means? Desecrate, thank you, is a little bit better word, not to be sanctified. You desecrate a kedusha, right? But you can only be machalal, you can only desecrate something that was sanctified in the first place, right? So if you have a Yisrael who never had the kedusha social aron, or the chalal, the concept of a chalal, is something that doesn't apply. On the other hand, when we stop and look at halacha, we begin to realize that maybe that's not so pasha. For example, we know, okay, this is a given, non-debatable, okay, that means you cannot argue on this, that there is a concept of halalas that applies actually to a Jewish, yes, that was a bad English actually, is a kind of chalalas that applies to a Yisraelis, to a Bas Yisrael, a Jewish girl, even if she's not a Bas Kohen or Kohenes, can have a status of chalalas. Where is that? Jewish girl becoming a chalala, chalala, whatever you want to call her. What is that?
Can't marry a Kohen.
There are examples of people, right, who are not Kohanim, but nevertheless, because of a chalalos status, are not allowed to marry Kohen. Even though she's not a Gerusha, she's not a Zona, she's not a this, she's not a that. Where do you have that, right? Huh?
Chalala.
Well, what's the example of that? Okay, a Gentile and a Jewish mother, that's going to passel her from ever marrying a Kohen. She became a Chalala through such a thing. One simple example, okay? And what we're really now coming and asking is, okay, knowing that there are restrictions of Chalala that can apply even to a Jewish girl despite the fact that she's not a Kohen, is it possible that the Jewish male, the Yisrael, could he have Chalala as well? Let me rephrase the question even a little bit differently over here, okay? With a very simple twist of basic facts, okay? To take something simple and perhaps put a little bit of a question mark on it, okay? And we'll say it like this. So do we have any Kohanim in the room?
Good.
Okay, well, the rest of us are non-Kohanim. You're a non-Kohanim, Evan? Okay. Are you a Chalal or not? Are you a Chalal? I might disagree with that. Okay, tell me, what Kohen who becomes a Chol, what happens now that he's a Chol? What we're pointing out is that perhaps, right, if you compare what happens to a Kohen who became a Chol, and what a Yisrael was born into, right, one perhaps could suggest, right, that don't say Chol isn't Shayach to a Yisrael, but rather a Yisrael is just a, to use a very non-technical term, a super-duper Chalal, right? Born into the world of Chalal, dies as a Chalal, lives his life as a Chalal. He also can do the Avodah, he's also allowed to marry a Grusha. It doesn't feel as depressing when you think about those things, because I've been born like that, right? And he would be very depressed to become a Chalal, but the truth of the matter is they're exactly the same, right? So that becomes now a question over here. Is it shayach ever, right, to have chalalos when it comes to Yisro? Now, let's go like this. Hold on for a couple of the basic question what we just said, or
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Can a bas chalal marry a kohen? Then how can he be a chalal?
Huh?
How could he be a Chol then?
Like in who?
Evan. His daughter can marry a Kohen.
Yeah,
right. Because there are, you're saying they're not exactly comparable, is that what you're saying?
He's not a Chol.
Okay, I'm not suggesting that you have your mamish a chalal. There are similarities between the two. It's not a crazy idea to suggest that chalal's elements at least would apply to him. We're gonna come back to that point a little bit later on. let's start like this. Let's turn this machlokas here in Yevamos Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. Machlokas is, you know, once again, surprisingly, not so surprising in fact, because these things usually work out perfectly when they're going good. A machlokas is, you know, Rashi and a Ritva, that's going to, of course, be very relevant to our machlokas, Rashi and Ritva over here as well. But this is an example when the Gedolim have an incredible Bikiyas and things that can really help ourselves out in terms of understanding our learning a little bit better. As you know, the Gemara in Yevamos has a discussion about an Akum, a non-Jew, who's Baal Bas Yisrael. The official halacha is, as I'm sure everybody knows, like, the child is still Jewish, first of all, his mother is Jewish, the child is not a mamzer, all of that. The one thing the Gemara says is true, is that the Vlad is pogum, the Vlad is a taint on it. What does that mean, that the child, the offspring of that marriage, has a taint on it? So here we have a machlokes between the Rishonim, but bottom line is that the Gemara uses a lashon, at least in one place in Shatzis, pogum lekahuna, this idea of it being tainted has something to do with the ability to marry a kohen. What is that? So the Ritva quotes over there as follows. Hadi aminin of Vlad pogum lekahuna. The Gemara says the child is tainted. Klape the kahuna. Pirush Rashi's al Rashi explained. Shem hoisin nekeva. If there's a daughter that's born from this union, he chalala, the girl becomes a chalala. Shepsula la kohen hedyo, she's not allowed to marry a kohen. Vim he kohenes, and if the mother had been a kohenes, mifsula metruma de beinasha, that mother and eventually the daughter that's born over here becomes invalidated, passed from eating truma in her father's house once again. Okay, in other words, the goy basically has the ability to mess up the girls over here, but not the boy. The nira may devarve, and it seems clear, it appears in the words of Rashi, she'im hu zachar, that if the child would have been a boy, Eino nifsal klal, that nothing happens to him at all when his father is a non-Jew. Non-Jew, Jewish mother, even though the Gemara says the Vlad is pogum likahuna, that means nothing when it comes to a male. V'chi ka'amrinan shebina pogum, when it says the Gemara, the bina, which literally translated would mean her son, right, bina, no, lav davka, that doesn't mean a son, elabita kamer, it means obviously the daughter, bina is just a generic way of saying the offspring, it doesn't literally mean a boy, according to Rashi. V'chim p'yashur b'yushami neferish b'nekevan, as Yerushalmi that actually says that as well, but this is only relevant to a girl. The girl child will not be able to marry a kohen. Avor Rabbeinu Haramban Zal Haya Omer, but our Rebbe, the Ramban was one of the Rebbeim of the Ritva, he would say like this, no. Kevin the Mekavachom and Yamana Maisi, well, since the Gemara learns that this din, that the child has this taint from a Kavachom or from a Kohen who married, a Kohen Gadol rather, who married an Amana, look over there in the Sugya 1 second, ask him who ben, even if the child would have been a boy, Pogum Likahuna, he is going to be Pogum Likahuna. Shehu Chalal, we're going to treat the boy with a status of Chalalas. Posel Bibiaso Isha Shabal, he's going to pass on any woman that he sleeps with from ever being able to marry Yekoi. Vidavka Aminon Shabina Pogum, and we mean it very literal when we speak about the Ben being a Pogum, yes, that is also talking about a boy. His father is not a Kohen. How can he be a Kohen? How can he be a Kohen? No, he's affected insofar as any woman that he sleeps with will never be able to marry a Kohen. And again, the simplest scenario is that guy gets married, he sleeps with that girl, he dies, right? That girl should have been able to marry a Kohen. She's not a Gerusha at all. Normal women, normal Amanos, are allowed to marry Kohanim. She is not allowed to because her husband originally was the product of a mixed marriage like that. Yeah. The passion is even. The fact that they agree to the other halacha.
Isn't that
No, because Einon Shimon Adin is a fair question, but a mistake nonetheless. The rule of Einon Shimon Adin, right, is a rule that says that a bezdin, we can never learn an onesh, that's going to be applied in a bezdin, through a kal v'chomer. What we're saying is over here is something different, though. The halacha now is looking for the... Remember we used before the expression that these statuses are natural results, right? The union of this is that. This happens here. So the Gemara is learning out from a svara, from a kal v'chomer, that this child, right, will have a pagamtim. It's not an onesh that's going to be given over. It's a birth defect. And how do we know that child is a birth defect? We learn it from a kal v'chomer. Right, punishments are going to be administered in a bezin we don't have based on kal v'chomer. That we don't do. Right, but the natural results, we can learn halakha from a kal v'chomer.
Can that be explained from kal v'chomer?
Huh?
Can that be explained
from kal v'chomer? It's not worth it. The truth of the matter is, the Gemara has an involved discussion back and forth. There's that. The Gemara's are a little bit confusing over there. Suffice it to say, what the Olam Ban is trying to drive that is, there's the same way by an Amana and a Kohen Gadol, right, the problems that apply to their children, right, are across the board, boys or girls, right, they're all messed up. Same thing should be true over here. Okay. The Kitzel, what do we see from this machlokas now between the Rashi and the Ritva over there in Masechta Yevamos, right? The Rashi seems, once again, to go what we'll call the Shitasa, to follow a Svara that he has over here, right, then we're speaking about a pagam to the kahuna, right? These things are relevant only to the girls and not to the boys. See, the Rashi seems to have a Shita. Rashi seems to have a sheet that says that chalalas can absolutely only pertain to Kohanim, not to Yisraelim, in the slightest bit. The only thing we possibly can have is when you have, like in this case, the goy and the Jewish mother. Okay, so that girl might not be allowed to marry a kohen. That's going to be true, but that's not as chalalas. That she's not allowed to marry a kohen. A boy though is not going to have that disease called chalalas. That's not going to work. The Ramban is arguing once again. What was that? I'll come back to that in 1 second. The Ramban that the Ritva is quoting, right, once again is following this other idea. No, chalalas, that applies to Yisrael, that applies to males as well. Where do we have an example that a Yisrael can be a chalal? This idea, you can catch the infectious disease of chalalas, that you can get somebody else with it. You'll infect the girl and she'll minifsal minakona, even though the yuri is thrall. That would lead back, coming back to our excuse me, coming back to our itzva, that will lead you to believe that even if we're going to say yase zeh ben gerusha ben chalutza, what does it mean yase zeh ben gerusha? Even to a yisrael, we're going to be able to apply such a thing, because there are dinim of chalalas that apply to yisraelim as well. So, what was that? Okay, because what's Rashi saying over there in Yevamos, right? That the idea that the shayel of the akum and the bas yisrael, right, is a hugam lekahuna, can only apply to a girl. Right? Why? Because right? If you have a boy, right, there's no chalala status. Well, what does it mean? It's hugam lekahuna, right? Okay, let's back up for a second. Let's do certain birds and bees things over here, right? Even if you want to suggest a boy, it's hugam lekahuna, right? First of all, is the boy actually a kohen when his father's a non-Jew? Obviously not. Right? Your father has to be a kohen to be a kohen, right? So he's not a kohen, right? So what would that mean when we would say pugum lekahuna? Right? He can't marry a kohen. That's true. He can't marry a kohen. That's for other reasons why this boy can't marry a kohen, right? So that's not an issue over here, right? So can he do the avoda? No, right? Because he's not a kohen anyway, right? So where would that be relevant? Okay. So it's on that, right, that Rashi is taking a stand and saying, yeah, okay, but that doesn't apply to the Yisraelim. In other words, Yisrael can't be a challah. Challahs can't apply. What you can have is the rule, right, that there we limit which girls are allowed to marry Kohanim. We have chumras about who a kohen is allowed to marry. What was that? That doesn't have to be a shame challahs. In other words, again, challahs is a status that applies to the male. Kohanim become challahs. A male can become a challah. The how do you phrase this in English? The female Kohen, who is not a Kohen anyway, right? The female Kohen is not really a Kohen anyway, or a Jewish girl who's limited who she can marry is not a Chala or a Chalala. What are you? Someone who can't marry a Kohen. So Rashi's saying, when the Gemara there says that the child is Pogum Likahuna, all that means is we have another example of someone who can't marry a Kohen. That's all. Okay. How does that relate back to us over here? So Rashi is going to also come along and say, even if you want to suggest that the Edom should become a Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza, that can't be by Edom or Yisraelim. There's no such thing as Chalalas Dinim that apply to regular old Jewish males, period. Any clear the thing? Huh? Anyone else want to go over that point? I don't want to kill everyone over here. Anyone else, you can please feel free to show your hands if that is. I don't mind doing anything, but I also don't want to catch us off. We're not. You okay?
That's the end of the text.
No.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, you can ask a question, yeah.
So, it's a character that if we would have assumed that not the Mosul, if not for the Pasuk, Lola Mazara, it would be.
I'm going to get into that right now. Hold off. Hold off 1 second. Hold off 1 second. I'm not even going to let you finish the question. Any other questions before we move on? Yeah.
I don't know if this is a question, but the child
of who? I didn't find how you phrase it.
If the child the child, right? So.
Can the granddaughter marry a Kohen from such a thing? If I'm not mistaken, they can't. How do you get rid of it? If I'm not mistaken, you're stuck with it. If I'm not mistaken, there's certainly the fourth breaking Yiddush. I don't remember 100%. I would have to double check. There is a mission of certainly the fourth breaking Yiddush that goes through those deals. Now, we can ask over your question like this. The question is on the sheet of the Ritva, no matter which explanation you're going to take in the Ritva, but there is a very basic question that has to get asked over here. Mamashe, a very basic point. Again, the Ritva is coming along with the idea that the Havamina of the Mishnah, right, is equally relevant to Edom that a Yisraelim, right, in the form of his wife came out of Yikol, and the daughter of Yemeshah came out of Yikol, all of that kind of stuff. Okay. But it's clear when we're speaking about a Yisraelim that you're not speaking about him being a Cholol in the real, I mean, he's not a Chabas, that's the bottom line. He's not a Cholol over here. Okay? Well, that means we have to now turn our attention to the Gemara a little bit and try to work through a sugya and how the Ritva is going to explain away some of the Gemaras that you already learned. If you remember the Gemara towards the bottom of the piece over here on Beis Amud Aleph that we had done, we quote the mission that Ein Omer Yasid Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Tachtav and the locus that Rabbani. Then where is Minani Mili? Where do I get that from? So if Yeshua Ben Levi comes along and says, Omer Krova Sisim Lo Kasha Zomim Lo Velo Lazar, the punishment is going to apply to you. It's not going to apply to your children, okay? And chalavas is something that's hereditary, so chalavas should not be a hazama punishment. I think about it as we lift salu the day, we lift salu the zar, right? So pasul him, and not pasul the children. No, bina kash hazama lasos the leka, and you're trying to do a whole package deal to pasul him, to pasul his kids, because the chalavas are going to carry on. You can't do that because of the din of lo velo lazar. So we don't apply the hazama at all. Okay, now, if you stop and don't look at that Gemara, the Gemara seems to be relatively clear over here that we're speaking about Kohanim, right, who have the ability that if you're going to become a Cholol, your child is automatically going to become a Cholol, right, lo v'lo lazara, which is the drush that we make. Let's say, right, according to the Ritva, we would have such a Havamina. We're going to take this person and say that, okay, you are going to passel, right? You're going to passel a girl that you're going to sleep with for marrying a kohen. Okay, that's the expression, excuse me, of chalavas that you're going to have, right? What happens in such a scenario? Again, basic halacha. You're going to passel a girl that you're going to sleep with, the child of that marriage. What's the din over there? Okay. The rule is that someone has the ability to passel a wife, but not the children. All of these issues of lineage and all that get a little bit confusing, but that is the rule, okay? The cholo will pass the girl, not the children, the offspring that are going to come out of that, so what do you call it? Not the offspring that are come out of that marriage, assuming the cholo is allowed to marry that person. So one could ask, again, a very simple question over here. Wait a second. According to Rashi, right, that the Havamina is that we're going to make a Kohen into a Cholo. So I understand the whole thing. If you're a Cholo, so you give over the Cholo, all that kind of stuff. But if all we're speaking about is a Yisrael is going to, again, infect the girl that he sleeps with, he's going to pass on that girl, that doesn't apply to the kid. What's the Havamina B'chlal of the Gemara? Doesn't that indicate a little bit more like the Rashi and not like the Shita of the Ritva? Right, so the truth is, we can suggest one of two things. One a little bit dulcic and one a little bit less. I'll let you try to figure out which is the more simple territory, which is the net. Let's try to suggest Teirutim over here for that question. Any, you understand the question first and foremost or not? Well, let's go through the question. Yeah, question was like this. The Gemara tells you very clearly, how do I know, right, that we don't make the Eid Zomim into a Cholol? What was the drush that we made? Lo below the Zara. Right? You were trying to punish not only the Kohen and making him into a Cholol, that was going to become hereditary, but lo below the Zara. Right? We can punish you, we can't punish your children. So according to Rashi, what does that mean? Even if we're going to make you into a Cholol, the Kohen into a Cholol, that can't apply to your children, and then that doesn't work, that's halfway kashas omam, we can't do that. How does the Ritva understand the Gemara? So now we have a very big problem. Right? Why? Because according to the Ritva, the whole Havamina was to take the Yisra and do what? Say that he will parcel any girl that he sleeps with. Okay, she won't be able to marry a Kohen. Very, very nice. Now, are we making the Yisra into a Kohen? No. All we're doing is saying there's a limited halacha. Right? The Havamina was, if you sleep with somebody, she can't marry a Kohen after that. Okay, if that's the case, what's the Gemara speaking, this whole discussion, lo velo the Zara, when it doesn't apply to all of that, what do you mean? Those things aren't even relevant to Yisrael in the slightest bit. If I made the Yisrael into a Cholol, right, meaning to say he's going to passel his wife from marrying a Kohen afterwards, okay, what does that have to do with his kids? There is no din that his kids are going to become pasul like that. It doesn't apply that they hold the whole sugya. So either the simplest test you could give to that, the mamish is simple, even without any brain power over here, you could say a very simple test. You want to try? No brain power, Jenna, all yours. Even beneath that right now.
Huh?
Even beneath that. I said, I asked you to give me a no brain power test.
I mean,
only goes to the hardest thing. Simplest explanation is that the Ritva is going to say like this. Simplest shot is that even the Ritva agrees.
What if that guy is born
when
they have kids?
Okay. So that's the problem. Right? The problem is that the Kizorga doesn't relate to them. Simplest terrors is like this. First of all, even according to the Ritva, okay? Let's say the Eden Zolmanim had been Kohanim. Okay? What would the Hava mean of the Mishnah have been? To make them into regular chalala, right? The Ritva doesn't argue on that idea. The Ritva is just extending the Pshat in the Mishnah even to Edom or Yisrael. So the simplest thing in the world is to have said that the Ritva is going to look at this and say, yeah. But the Gemara is correct. The basic idea, right? Can we make the Edom Zohim into chalala? Is Edom or Kohanim? Can they make the chalala? The answer is no. Lo velo lezara. Once we chuck out the entire idea, right, then the other examples where the Mishnah might come up, like a Yisrael puzzling his wife, is Mimela going to get thrown out the window because the whole concept doesn't apply. There's only Malkus and not Chalolus. But that sugya in the Gemara, right, and again, there's no lumbus involved. It's just a simple reading of the Mishnah, of the Gemara over here, is an Acharami, speaking about a case of where the guy is a Kohen, right? And that's the basic example over there. Or you could suggest another teretz, if you will, that may be excuse me, maybe over here we actually are, like we discussed this idea earlier, making an actual comparison between the Kohen Chala versus the Yisrael, who are affecting as a chala. What does that mean? Okay, again, this is one of these nudnik points, but it certainly works in order to explain away. It works to explain away the Gemara over here. Again, we suggested before that a Yisrael, right, is some form, okay, maybe slightly different halachas, but some form of an aggrandized chala. Right, every Yisrael walking around out there, right, who is a pasul lekahuna, right, has elements of chalalas. That's what it called. That's there. So now, if we're going to make the Yisrael into a chalo, right? Meaning to say what? That he's going to passel, right? The wife that he goes and sleeps with. So the Gemara is bringing up the idea. Hey, wait a second. If you're now, how are we going to phrase it? If you're now, one second, a phrase they're looking for now. So we do it. The phrase, okay, different words in it, but without any some expression. Hold on one second. These bugs when I forget English. Okay, I have no idea what I'm saying right now, but if we're now going to try to complete the picture, right? That's what I'm trying to say. If we're now going to try to complete the picture and come along, no major expression there, no literary finesse, if we're going to complete the picture and say that this Yisrael is going to passel his wife, okay? Well, we're basically coming along and saying now that the guy, so to speak, has the full status of the chalalas. We're nailing him, right, in its fullest sense of the word. And maybe the Gemara is speaking about, we're bringing up the idea, hey, wait a second, well, let's make the guy a chala, we're going to passel his wife as well. The Gemara answers back to that, wait a second, no. Lo velo lezaro. What does that mean, lo velo lezaro?
Lo velo
ishtam. Huh?
Lo velo
ishtam. Okay, but there, yeah, even without that doesn't bring up something else. But what's lo velo lezaro going to mean over here?
Can't affect anyone else.
Okay, you can see you want to use that, so fine. We're going to use that. You can't affect anybody else. What about affecting him, but not the other people that might possibly be affected? Okay, that's called kasha zamam lechatzon. But again, the simplest pshat is, at least in that last point, is that the sugya itself is speaking about the basic example of an Edomi who happened to have been a Kohen, and that's what we end up invalidating the entire thing. That is the end of the, what do you call that? Machlok is Rashi and the Ritva. I think we've churned enough out of it for right now. It's not tomorrow. Today is Thursday? Okay, so there is no tomorrow. Mirta Shana on Sunday, I still don't even know the exact schedule, but I'm assuming we're going to be able to finish up without a problem the next sheet over there on Sunday, Mirta Shem. And that is the story. Yeah?
The cash and the cash lane. I mean, yeah. not my cash. Cash is that.